Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Wade Butler, chaplain for the Republics for the United States of America. I want to welcome you to our national prayer call, and I want to encourage you. We're in times and seasons where the Lord is saying it's time to for seers to dream dreams and see with their eyes of faith. Literally, if you look at the word that came out today by Sylvia Nishi, and the time, the acceleration, and what's going on with the Lord is so critical that people are panicking. They don't know what to do. Things have been delayed, and they've been they've looked and stood on faith, and they're not hearing, they're not seeing, they're not understanding. And she talks about the lessons from the widow of Zarephath. And recently, in a vision and dreams the Lord had given her, she said that she saw and heard that which was being said in the past, and then God interpreted the what she saw. And this is the like the widow of Zarephath, and I can't pronounce it properly, but he had my attention. I immediately looked and found 1 Kings 17. Sometimes later the book dried up, and this was talking about the prophet Elijah, and there was no rain in the land. And the Lord came to him, the prophet, and said, "Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, and stay there. I have directed a widow who will supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was standing with sticks in her hands and a jar, make a little fire, and she was gathering. And then he said unto her, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may drink?" And she recognized right away, and she said, "Go get it and bring it to me in a piece of bread." And as surely as the Lord lives, she said, "I have no bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And I'm gathering a few sticks to take it home and make a meal for myself and my son, and we will eat it and die." You know, so you go, okay, we got a problem here. She was focusing on the problem instead of the promise. So when God brings obstacles in our path, we so often focus on the obstacle rather than that which is being said by the Lord, okay, and that which the promise is. So Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid." This is 1 Kings 17, 13 through 16. "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you said, do as I've said, and make a loaf for me and what you have, and bring it to me and something for yourself and your son." And with this, what the Lord said, "The jar of flour will not be used up, nor the jug will not run dry, until the day the Lord sends rain in our land." Well, you go, wow, okay. So she went and did what Elijah told her, and there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her entire family. And the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run low. And in keeping with the Lord had said to Elijah, so he says, to him who is able to ensure the promise of that which is coming. Hold on a sec. Excuse me. What's making that clicking? Do you know? Oh, that is. Oh, my gosh. Lord, I just asked that the hail. Oh, goodness. I got a glass roof car. And I don't know if you can hear that. Those are baseball size hails hitting our house right now and our cars. And Lord, I ask for protection. I ask for it to pass over our home. And it was supposed to be precede a tornado. And I rebuke that in the name of Yeshua. You know, so we look at the problems rather than what the solution is and what God's saying. Now, we're in a time and season where we can look at the problem. We look at that bridge that was knocked down. We look at another one was hit on the West Coast just the other day, and I don't remember the name of it. And we look at all the problems around us and what's going on, and we say, Lord, we need help now. We need a breakthrough. We need to hear, see, know, and understand. And the only way we're going to do that is seek him with all that we are, with everything that we are, and trust and rely on him. Now, I was praying this morning. I said I was going to say this. I was praying this morning when Francis and I got in our vehicle to drive 5.5 hours to get back home today. And I said, Lord, Matt has been on somewhat of a sabbatical. You've been having him seek you. And I know you've given him something, and I need to hear. And if you got a word from Matt, would you bring it tonight and let your glory fall? And please have him call me. And immediately the phone started ringing. It was Matt. So, Matt Freezer, whatever the Lord has said to you for us this night, please bring it and let the Lord be glorified.
Thanks, Wade. It's wow, what an introduction. You know, so much has been going on, like Wade said already, in the natural. And one of the things that's been put out there on the calendar for quite a while is this eclipse that's going to happen April 8th. And it started out, it's been on the calendar for a long time, but it seems so many have been focusing on that. And what that really means, the Aleph Tav, that intersection, and what it's going to do, what it means for us individually as a nation and the world. I love what Paul T. Davis wrote. He said, "It seems apparent to most everyone that we are in a time of notable transition. When the Lord himself came to earth, he was tasked with the responsibility of anointing the transition from the law of Moses to the revelation of God's kingdom. He often said, 'To him who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" You know, nothing could be better said than that right there. Much of this transition from the church age to the kingdom age, the dynamics of the church we have known are fading, and the dynamics of the kingdom are coming to the forefront and will ultimately result in the return of the Lord himself and the full manifestation of the kingdom age as prophesied by the Lord himself. The heart of the Lord's kingdom message is to him, whoever comes, with the emphasis on the throne, with the Lord taking his place as the head of his body, his corporate body, which represents all of us as we are transitioned into the full maturity of him. This likewise produces an emphasis on the government of the kingdom with the Lord himself as king. Revelation 5, 8 through 10 says, "The mysteries revealed under this administration of the government will produce priests and kings who are destined to rule with the Messiah." Even Revelation 5 says, "He's made us to be kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." I read all that, that really brings me to what the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. And he just implored that I give a couple key points of what he wanted me to bring. First is that all these signs, all these things that are happening all around us in the physical, he said, don't chase these signs or try to figure them out through your own reasoning. It's kind of hard to do. So much is coming out every day. I even saw something with the word rapture in it mentioned recently. But the Lord is saying, don't try to figure all that out. Rest in me. When the Lord walked the earth during his earthly ministry, he told his believers the same thing in Matthew 16:4. Passion Translation said it this way, "A wicked and wayward generation always asks for signs." But of course, the only sign that was given was the sign of Jonah. He said that, and then he turned and left because he didn't want them to focus on all those things that get swept away by what all that means. He wanted them to focus on him. Nothing could be more true today as we look at these things that Wade was talking about, the Francis Scott Key Bridge. You know, I went over that bridge so many times, I can't even remember. I had meetings there at that administration. And look at that, what happened in the nation's capital, the White House, Israel, the attack in Russia, and on and on and on. There's just no lack of signs in the physical. And our natural man wants answers. That always leads us to investigating or chasing. But our spiritual man needs to be led by the Spirit. And that's what the Lord really wants us to pursue. You know, that side of Jonah, many celebrated yesterday. They were talking about that just before the call. The truth of it is, none of these timelines are accurate, only the Lord. But he pointed me to something as he woke me up last night. He pointed me to Mary Magdalene, of all people. And Yeshua said something very interesting as he had me look at her He said, you know, she didn't have all the answers. She didn't know exactly what to do. Many of the closest disciples scattered, and they were all trying to do what isn't natural. They were trying to figure it out. They were trying to go their own direction to try to get some grasp of what just happened. But she chose a little different path. She was there when he was laid in the tomb, and she was there when that tomb was first opened. As many others were trying to make sense of everything that had happened, she continued to do the thing that we need to do, to pursue and stay as close to him as she could. As a result, we read in the scripture, she stood next to that gardener at the tomb. And at once her eyes were open and she beheld the glory. You know, the Lord is doing something amazing right now amidst all these things going on. He's calling us to be separated from the masses, from all the things you might hear, from all the analysis, from all the other voices. He's calling us to draw in close so that we too can stand just as Mary Magdalene did, and she saw the face of the Lord. She said, Rabboni, Master. You know, I had a conversation with a dear sister today who I spent a lot of time in the Spirit with. And she was going about a busy day doing all these things, and she kept hearing that small, still voice. After a while, she had to leave the place where she was, the room, to get into a quiet place. And when she did, she heard something amazing about how the Lord is drawing us into a place of intimacy. What's happening is really a time where we must choose. It's a time where we have to seek him, as Wade said earlier, but we have to hear that small, still voice. You know, the events of April 8th may come and go, but there's no doubt a lot of things happening. And the biggest thing that can happen to us is going to happen inside of our own hearts, and that will determine our walk. Because the Lord is searching right now the hearts who are ready. And I just want to read a couple of scriptures to you, going back to what Paul Keith Davis said about the king, kings and priests. The first one comes out of Luke 8. It says this, it has been given to Christ's disciples to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven and the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The second one comes out of 1 Corinthians 4:1. God's people are called stewards of the mysteries of God. A lot of weight on that. Colossians 4:3. We are to make manifest the mystery of Christ in word and deed. Well, that's not business as normal. None of these are. And these are only coming from a place of maturity. We're standing right at that doorway right now. And the last one out of Ephesians 3:9, there is a fellowship of mystery between Yeshua and his church, the head and the body. According to the eternal purposes, Christ Jesus. You know, he's raising us up. He's raising up an army. And, you know, as I was meditating on this, Lord, I just saw all those who are willing to just open their hearts to you right now. Go be in that still place. To go to hear and seek you. Just like the lamps that need to be filled with your oil and the wicks that need to be trimmed. Lord, this is such a critical time for all of us to be just ever vigilant about seeking you, whether that be dreams, visions, that voice, or a word that you give us, your written word that just comes and just releases revelation. Lord, I just pray for this company of believers, this who have been seeking you for so many years, that you prepare their hearts for, as you instill that fresh fire in each one of us, that we may seek you in a totally new way, and that those things I just read about, those mysteries of you, become alive and active, and ultimately they manifest through each one of us. Those are the things that will come out of all this shifting and transition, Lord. And it will bring glory to your name. And we just praise you for what you're doing and for this opportunity for each of us just to fully engage in what that means. Nobody else can walk it or step in our shoes except for each one of us individually. And that's what we need to do, Lord. We need to follow you individually. And then corporately, it just brings us together into that full body, the mature body where you are the head. So, Lord, we just praise you and bless you and glorify your name. Amen.
Thanks, Matt. I'm going to take over for Wade for just a bit. He is seeking some shelter from a thunderstorm, and he says there are tornadoes in the area where he's at as well. So I want to go ahead and stop right now and ask Mel to pray a prayer of protection for Francis and Wade and their family as this is going on, and that'll be it will. The storm will not come near them. It's definitely manifesting in the natural now what is going on in the earth. So, Mel, do you mind doing that for us tonight?
Certainly. Lord, we come together corporately and privately as to pray for Wade and Francis and his son, his daughter-in-law, and the children and their home, and the protection that they need. Because, Father, these thunderstorms and tornadoes and hailstorms can be devastating. And they need your protection now, and they need the mighty hand of your grace and your mercy and your love and your protection over them right now, so that this storm will pass away through the area without causing any harm to them physically or to any of their property. Father, we ask this in your name. We ask this in the name of Jesus our Christ. And we know it can be done because we believe in your miracles. We see them often, and we ask for another one tonight. Amen.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Mel, for that. Thank you, Matt, for what you brought as well. It kind of resonates with me. Of course, we haven't talked a whole lot lately, which is why that is, I believe. And the reason why I say that is over the weekend, was at one of our grandkids' birthdays, and, of course, yesterday being Easter, I just kind of sat back and looked at things. And the reason why I'm saying that, what Matt said, I was focused on what was going on there and not on Yeshua. And I realize that now, but the things that kind of caught me on over the weekend is the birthday was on Saturday, and our youngest granddaughter, it was her birthday, and she was getting all these gifts. And two of the gifts I'm going to focus in on, then I'm going to go on to the next thing that I'm going to talk about. She got a car seat for a doll, and it's an actual car seat that you strap in the car, and you put your doll in it. I just thought, what is that? And the second thing is, she got a stroller for three dolls. In other words, a triple stroller. And again, I'm thinking, I've never seen one of that, something like that, for any children, let alone dolls. So I don't know why I'm bringing those two things up, but they just kind of struck me, and somehow it's going to fit with everything else that I'm going to say. And so on to yesterday being Easter, we got together with our family to have lunch. When they do their Easter thing, we leave because we think that Passover is the time that Christ died for us and for all humanity. And one of our sons prayed for the food and talked about how this was the day that Christ rose, and we need to keep on remembering him throughout our life. And when that was done, we started eating. There was no more mention of Yeshua or anything connected with him. It was all stuff about the world. And what struck me kind of interesting about that is when I was looking at the Gregorian calendar that we follow, I follow both the Gregorian and the Hebraic, but looking at the Hebraic calendar, yesterday was Easter, and then the 5th of May is the Orthodox Easter. And did Christ die twice, or did Christ die three times? Because Passover is the 22nd of this month, and I just was thinking that we can't, he can't die more than once, because he said he died once for all. And so that's kind of questions that I have in my own mind, that's how far the world is off from really what God is wanting us to follow and keep him in mind, and especially Yeshua, our Savior, as well, as we continue to go forward. And it just kind of struck me that those particular things were in such contrast with what, you know, the scripture tells us. So anyway, I'm going to leave on a more positive note and play a song tonight that is called "For God So Loved the World." I just think that come around full circle. So here's that song.
Thank you.
Well, Father, just help us to be focused in on what you want us to be focused in on, which is you. And that we just praise you and thank you for hearing our prayer tonight as we continue to worship you and as we continue to focus in on you in Yeshua's name.
Amen. Amen. I thank you all if you stopped and prayed, John. I don't know. I could not hear. The storm was so great and hitting the windows and the side of the house and everything that I couldn't hear Matt finish, so I will do the playback, Matt, on that. I think I got the gist of most of it, but if Matt Stevens still here. But I did, it is quite a sight. My wife had gone out with her staff, stomping it on the ground, pointing it to heaven, commanding the tornado and the hail to pass over us, because they were quarter to golf ball size hail out there in the front and on the driveway and street, and I could hear the roar of the tornado nonstop. It wasn't lightning; it was a solid roar, and then it abated. So glory. I texted John that we might have to seek shelter and pray for us. And so I appreciate if you all stopped. I
did pray. We stopped and we prayed.
Yeah. So, and now it's quiet. Matter of fact, it's very quiet. that's kind of eerie. But I will play back and pick up Matt's whatever I missed. Steve has got a powerful word, and it all ties together. We've got to plant that which God is doing. And as I was driving back from Houston in Texas, we have this incredible sight. And that is in the middle of March to the first week of April, the wildflowers bloom. And along the sides of the road, they don't cut any longer. And they'll cut back, 50, 100 yards like most places, most states do. And it's on the way back, it was what we call Indian paintbrush, which is an orange, like a creamsicle. It's orange vanilla, and then they had I can't even pronounce the name, but it's like a sandrum or something like that. Looks like a buttercup. And then one that looks like raspberry, which is called a wine sap. And then others, and the roads are just blanketed all the way down. And I said, Lord, if I could just have those seeds to plant everywhere that I went. And that's nothing compared to what we need to plant in the Lord. And Steve Luster has got a powerful, powerful word. Thank you for holding Steve. And he's also going to do communion before we pray tonight. Steve Luster.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. He is the Lord over the weather. Praise God. Seen so many times when we've prayed and God has just changed things on the moment to his glory. And it's good to hear Matt tonight. And John, that song you sang, you're going to understand why that it just fits. I was just overwhelmed listening to that and realizing what I'm going to be sharing with you guys tonight. It's going to be a little bit different than what maybe you're used to or have even thought of. And we've already talked, every time we get together, we talk about the times that we're living in and the challenging and difficult times. And all the levels of the things that are going on. We got a war in Israel that is setting things up, it seems like, doesn't it, for the war that's going to end all wars, and it's not going to be the one that they thought it was years ago. It's going to be the one where every nation turns against Israel, and it seems to be happening. We're watching this, maybe as a precursor to that Ezekiel 47 war. There's a war in Europe. It seems to be getting more dangerous. We got Russian troops close to the Israel border. These wars, some are talking about either one of these wars could lead us into the danger of using nuclear weapons. We talked on the line before the recording, before it came into the recording of what happened yesterday with the White House and Biden, the transgender stuff on the White House on Easter of all days. We just live in a world that's challenging on so many levels, where the Word of God isn't valued or followed. The values of the Bible are not even considered, and if they're considered, they're considered ridiculous. And we live in a world that's rebelling against God and its design for marriage and family and purity. All you have to do is watch any film, and let me tell you, I keep a close track. My wife likes to watch films in the evening sometimes, and I take a close watch over things, because down here in Brazil, it's even worse as far as the blatant sexuality and almost pornography on the television. You know, the programming of immorality and the gay agenda, and more we're seeing outright satanic stuff. Or you know, you're talking about the April 8th eclipse, and it's not just that, but CERN is going to be cranked up on April 8th to try to break through and you know, let something in or send somebody out, and just all kinds of stuff going on, the corruption and the lack of honesty at every level, even among the people of God. You can even be shocked, and you're not even shocked anymore at how many times people, you know, think lying is acceptable if it's necessary for some situation. Really? Whatever happened to sanctification and purity? Sexual boundaries, even in the church, are broken. Oh, I can't even describe to you an event that took place in a home of some people in a church that we go to here. But it's just, you know, one thing after another, after another, after another. And even with all this taking place, you know, we got self-centeredness and egoism and all this kind of stuff going on. And many, as we've talked so many times, are sensing that we're living in times that are very close to the return of Yeshua, the Christ. And if that's true, we need to have a mentality and a lifestyle and priorities that are shaped by that reality, just what Matt was talking about, and John. And now, what does this have to do with planting seeds? I'm going to talk about planting seeds. The title of the article in the calendar is Seeds Planted Deep. So what does this have to do with that? Well, I want to share with you about seeds. Maybe you've not thought about this. I want to talk to you about something that is a very real, godly, biblical principle that we sometimes don't lose sight of. Because when we think about the things that are going on around and the people that are involved with these things like Biden, you know, I have to confess, when we talked about this earlier, I said, you know, it's incredible that the president of our country or any country on Easter would spit in the face of God. And sometimes we see people like this, and you know, we have to confess. I have to confess, we have a tendency to be very critical of them, and rightly so in some ways. But I want to point out to you a passage that maybe you haven't really thought of for a while, or maybe you have not even realized was there. And it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, many times we're familiar with this passage, how it starts, because it starts out, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up. And it goes on and on. I'm not going to go into all that on time. But then it says in verse 9, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen God I have seen the God-given task which the sons of men are to be occupied. Now listen to this. He has made everything in its time. Also, and here we go, he has put eternity in the hearts, in their hearts, the hearts of men. Except that no one can find out the work of God, that work that God does from beginning to end. I want to focus on what he says there about planting eternity in the hearts of men. Just bear with me if we think of that as a seed. The seed, and if you go in and study this, it really means the desire for things eternal. God put in every person that is ever born a hunger and a desire for the eternal, for something more than this world. And Solomon is saying that God will make all things beautiful or appropriate in its time. God's in control. He'll make all things right again in his time. The world will experience healing, peace, deliverance, and renewed purpose in God's time. But from our perspective, God's time doesn't always seem to be very beautiful. It can be hard to see how things are going to, how things are going so wrong. How can he redeem it? But we cannot see what God sees or how God sees. And the promise of the Bible is that one day things are going to be made right. One day we'll see what God's been doing. And our role until then is to trust in him and be close to him and obey him. Now Solomon says here that God has placed this seed, this desire for something eternal, into the hearts of men. They don't understand it, he says. They don't understand it. But this desire is what sets us apart from other creatures on this earth. We long for something more than what we can see in the here and now. Everybody does. And this is what causes people to search their whole lives for purpose and meaning. God's put this desire in every person's heart to seek out something different, see something eternal, something more than this not here and now, this life. And this desire should lead us to him and cause us to place our trust in him. And every person who ever lived, ever was born in this life, or who will ever live in this world, has or will have this seed planted in their deepest, most deepest being. Now, I want you to just think about this for a minute. We have a tendency to judge people. We judge them by their appearance. We judge them by their job. We judge them by the color of their skin. We judge them by their life choices. We judge them by their behavior. And I think in our day, Satan, the enemy of our souls, is just trying his very best to try to blind people to the existence and the love of God. It's obvious. Seems more, to me, the more people are farther away from God than ever before today. But I want to remind you, and I want to remind myself, all of us, of this thing. Inside of every person, without exception, every person on the face of this planet, God has put that seed, a seed of longing for something eternal, something more, something, and most of the time, they don't know what that is. They're longing for something. They just don't know what it is. And every single person has that. And when we talk about seeds, we talk about sowing the seeds of the gospel of faith. We talk about hope and all those kind of things that the Bible talks about. But I want to challenge us to remember that no matter how far from God a person is, No matter how far from God the president may be, no matter how far from God your neighbor may be, no matter how anti-God they may appear, deep inside of every person is a longing for the eternal, a longing for God. They just don't know it. I want to give you an example. I'm limiting this to one, just for time's sake. A number of years ago, I was the director of a prayer ministry in the state of Minnesota called Prayer Transformation Ministries. I had a ministry of prayer that was, you know, just to be honest, I'm not boasting, but just it was recognized at many levels in the city, in our state, and in our region. Well, in 1999, Minnesota, our state, had a new governor. His name was Jesse Ventura. Many of you are at least somewhat aware of Jesse Ventura. Maybe you watched him as a wrestler. He was a man who had been this professional wrestler, and he lived a life that seemed to be intentionally obnoxious. Well, after his election, Jesse Ventura did an interview with Playboy magazine. And in this interview with Playboy, the governor of Minnesota and this former professional wrestler is quoted as saying in this interview, in this article in Playboy magazine, that, quote, organized religion is a sham and a crutch for the weak-minded people who need strength in numbers. It tells people to go out and stick their noses in other people's business, unquote. Well, as you can imagine, the reaction, especially among the Christian community, was one of outrage. A friend of mine, who was at that time the director of a conservative pro-family organization, said, and I quote him here, "The governor's blatant attacks on religious faith are a slap in the face to the hundreds of thousands of Minnesotans who take their faith seriously," end quote. Well, when I saw these reactions, I talked with a couple other people, and we decided to do something different. I sent out an email to our Christian community saying that the Bible talks about the power of blessing. And so we were going to bless the governor. Who else needs more blessing than him? But anyway, we were going to bless him. It was close to Christmas. We asked for donations, and we said that all of the donations would go to buy long-stemmed red roses that we would send to the governor's mansion. Well, by the grace of God, we raised enough money to send 12 dozen long-stem red roses to him and his wife at their home at the governor's mansion. This was just before Christmas. As a result of the reactions to his interview in 2000, the governor set up a meeting of religious leaders to allow them to share their views. In May of 2000, I was invited to be a part of this breakfast meeting at the governor's mansion, and I actually have the invitation right on the wall in front of me here. The Lord made it so that the governor, he just wanted to kind of make mends and mend fences and stuff with the quote unquote religious community. And at that time, I was kind of the token evangelical. So God arranged it so that I was sitting directly across the round table from the governor, and they had asked three people to stand up and share their concerns or whatever, and I was one of those three by the grace of God. One leader stood up and talked about the need for racial equality, and one stood up and talked about affordable housing, and I was the third one, the last one to share. And as I said, I was sitting at the table, right across the table from the governor. I stood to my feet, directly across from Governor Ventura. I looked him in the eyes, and I said, "Governor, I want you to know that all across the state of Minnesota, tens of thousands of Christians are praying for you every day." And at that moment, just for a split second, his spirit opened. You know how you can see it in the eyes. You understand what I'm talking about. Talk about the eyes of the window to the soul. Just for a split second, I saw his spirit open up, and I could see the openness in him. And I knew that those words had touched him in that place where God had put a longing for eternity, that seed that God planted in his heart. Well, of course, quickly he said, well, I need it, and kind of deflect the attention away from that. But I knew God had touched him, and I knew there was a place in him. I had the opportunity also to give him a Bible for his wife at the national or state day of prayer. She read the scripture, but she was using her daughter's Bible. She said she had lost her Bible, so I bought her a women's study Bible, and I wrapped it in wrapping paper that had red roses on it, and I gave it to him for her. At that time, at that same meeting, he had the word of God given to him. And there's other things I could say about that, how a chaplain at the Capitol followed up many times with him. And I don't know where he's at now, but I know he still has that seed in him. And this is just one illustration, and you may have your own. But what I want us to understand is, in the midst of all that's going on, in all of the darkness that seems to be around us and is around us, with all of the debauchery and all of the stuff, and we see people around us in all these kind of rebellious and awful ways and things that are going on, every one of those people, friends, don't ever forget this. Every one of those people have a seed that God planted in their hearts of eternity. We never know when and how God might use us to touch that place in somebody else. That seed of eternity that God put in every person. It doesn't matter who they are, who they may be, or how far they are from God, but they have that seed there. God says he planted that seed in every heart. And it's for us to find it and water it. Paul talks to Timothy in 1 Timothy about the fact that we are first of all to pray, and that we are to pray because God desires that no one perish, but that all come to a knowledge of the truth. That's the heart of God. As Matt talked about us getting away and being close to God, when we get close to God and we begin to touch his heart, he's going to touch our hearts with the same love for people that he has. So in the midst of all of this that's going on around us, don't give up. Keep praying. You never know what God might do in using you to touch and water and flourish that seed of eternity in the people that he's put you among. And I yield back to you, Wade.
Yeah. There we go. I couldn't get to it, John. My computer was frozen. So, Stephen, thank you. If you would you lead us in communion, sir,
sure,
with that word?
Yeah. You know, as we take our elements and we think about the Lord's Supper, Holy Communion, there's something else that I want to just encourage you with, because sometimes we think of the communion as something that we do, and it is. It's something we do, but it's not just an action. It's not just a thing that we do. I believe that there is a deep spiritual connection that happens when we take communion, because you know the Catholics talk about this is the body, the real body of Christ, and the real blood of Jesus. And yet they have it rotting in dishes in the back room. But we don't go there. But I really believe that there's something deeply personal and spiritual that happens in our relationship with God when we take communion. When we really understand the price that was paid, that the second person of the Godhead who created everything that exists came to the earth he made to be a servant, to die on a cross made of wood he made, nailed to a cross with nails, the materials, the metals that he made in the earth. He died because he wanted so much to have a relationship with us forever and ever and ever. He couldn't bear the thought of eternity without you and without me. And so as we talk about and we take our communion and our elements, we take the bread, and it's a reminder. Paul says that he heard from the Lord, and the Lord instructed him that when we take this, we need to consider ourselves. And we need to understand that he said, "This is my body given for you." And when he takes the cup, "This is my blood shed for you." There's a spiritual, deep, personal connection with the Savior when we take these elements. So let me pray, and then you can take your elements. Father, thank you for this remembrance that you've given to us, this opportunity for us to very physically and really have a reminder of how much you love us and how much you long for us to have that relationship with you. I pray that even as we take our elements tonight, that you would do a deep spiritual work in each of our lives, reminding us of your love, not just for us, but as we just were talking about, for all those around us, where you put that seed of eternity. So thank you for these elements. Thank you for these reminders. And we take them in submission to you, in obedience to you, in Jesus, Yeshua's name. Amen. Please partake of your elements, the bread and the cup. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. In Yeshua's name. Wade?
Thank you, sir. Thank you. Glory, glory. Wow. What a powerful word all this night. And I do apologize for missing part of it. It was hailing so loudly and hitting on our walls and windows that we couldn't hear in here. So, but I want you all to imagine my wife out there with her staff. She's got a staff that I got her for her birthday, and that she was standing, pounding on the ground, holding up to the Lord, rebuking the hail and rebuking the storm. And it stopped. What can I say? It just passed over at that point. So, you know, you can say that was timing or whatever, but, you know, we don't know about any damage. Doesn't look like it.
I messed with Francis, that's all.
Yeah, no. I actually saw her years ago. There was a place that sold sexual and witchcraft paraphernalia about 2 blocks from our office. And on the night, every night we'd go home, she'd rebuke it and command it to burn to the ground and sink and burn down and sink into the ground. Monday morning we came by, and the house was gone, and there was a bulldozer that had tried to clean it up, and it had dropped into a pit below the house. And all you could see was the seat and the back of the bulldozer down in this pit. And we lived in an area where you don't have cellars because the water table is like 2 feet. So I went, remind me not to make that woman too mad, Lord. So obviously, if she can burn down a witchcraft place and stop a storm, I got to pay attention to what she tells me, I guess. I try to anyhow. I want to talk to you about where we are and what's been said tonight. Tomorrow, actually it's Wednesday. I had Steve do it on Tuesday, so most people would not have read it. Many of you read the whole thing, but and I'm doing that. You'll see me switch them around. It's not that I'm trying to be tricky. It's just the Lord says put it here. There's reasons, because we needed what Matt was going to say, and at the time we did this, we had no concept Matt was going to do it because he opened the month. But tomorrow, it talks about Rebecca Freilander out of Longview, Texas. Wrote a word that recently in prayer, she had a vision of the armor for a warrior. It was beautiful. And that there were feathers of rich, noble colors over it. And she couldn't help thinking, what has feathers got to do with armor? And then Psalm 91:4 said, he shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you'll take refuge, and truth shall be your shield and buckler. Now, it ties into what has been said, okay? It says, then the Lord said, there will be a chaos on the earth that's coming, okay? But I'm giving you the armor of abiding. In the place of his presence is rest, peace, quiet, strength as we encounter him. Let's remember there's power in staying deeply connected in the safety of God's presence, even as we pray that the truth, his truth will prevail. As we practice his presence, both individually and corporately, we put on the armor of abiding. From there, we can live from the place of peace and carry out his strategies. And then I go into something that the Lord gave me back in 2009, and it's been revised multiple times. Last time was November of 23, and it's my call to war, and it talks about the fullness of my armor. I'm not going to go through that tonight. John has seen it. Many of you have seen it. But it goes through. It talks about his armor and the different – and the Lord told me to look like Rambo. When he told me, he said, I want you to do this. And he said there was an armor available to us that I was unaware of. I've read about the armor. I've seen pictures. It was forged in heaven in the blood of the Lamb. And there are weapons we have not known before that are ready for us to use. Well, the Word of God brings us about that. But he also gives us a picture of a physical armor so that we may know and understand. And he went into that armor and then our authority, our responsibility, our affirmation, our place, his will, our surrender, the blood, and what he expects from us. So we're in a time and season that this woman was talking about, that Matt and Steve and John, that we're referring to, all the chaos around us, everything that's going on, that which seems like is literally shifting the heavens. He gave a place, Hashem Adonai, our Father, Yeshua, our Son, and Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, as written that we pray specifically when we pray and as we stand and that we press in. And Psalms 91 is paramount right now for everything's going on. Abide in him. Press in. Listen. Seek him with all that we are, that we may know and understand that which he's doing and who he is. So he's literally given us the armor of abiding. The place where we can abide in him, and how powerful it is if we will step into that place and overcome. Now, that does not mean you're not going to have war. Doesn't mean that I didn't have a stroke or didn't have a bypass or others have been sick. Or it doesn't mean that you're not going to go through it. It just means that it's not going to prevail against you. Okay. No weapon formed against you shall prosper, which if you look up prosper, it also means prevail. Or be added to. So we're in a time and situation where we have to know and understand who we are, whose we are, and whom we are. Okay, so who, whose, and whom. Okay, and it's a time of warfare like none other in our lives. We think we've been through things. We look at our family, our history, my parents, most of your parents probably either went through like the time of the Depression, because I'm 74, so my parents went through Depression. There are many that, and because of the way I was raised, and we were raised, we came from a poor family, and we had a little farm, and Daddy painted houses, and we raised most of our own food. We had chickens and goats and hogs, and had 15 acres of agriculture. And there's many a summer I worked in those fields that I didn't want to, and sold off 10 acres, and we still had to farm a good part of it. But in growing up, what I required of my daughter-in-law and my son to this day, you know, you come to my house, you are not going to ever be hungry, because it's something that growing up I didn't have. Okay. You're not going to be not clothed. You're not going to go hungry. People would go backpacking, camping with me, and I was an outdoor survivalist type guy that would do things, and they were always amazed. I always had a medical kit for two or three. I had extra provisions. I carried an extra 10, 15 pounds than most other people simply because I wanted to be prepared. Well, the greatest preparation we can have is the armor of God, and I found out something when he put it on me after I had been injured. I tore a rotator cuff. And I says, Lord, it has no weight. And he says, no, it has no weight at all. It's as light as a feather, because it literally is feathers of my wings that cover you. And I'm carrying the weight of the armor. I went, wow. Okay. And when he gave me, he said, I want you to look like Rambo walking into the battles. I don't want you to walk out like a Greek where you got a little short skirt on and sandals with a helmet and a little round shield. He says, I want you to walk in like the Praetorian Guards. He said, I want you to walk in where you're wearing hobnail boots and shin guards and thigh guards. He says, that skirt, in which if you'll read about it, you'll see what it is. It basically was made of saddle leather, and it crisscrossed. It was about 12 inches long. It was to keep a sword from coming up and gutting you in battle. And the breastplate was either made out of bronze, or it was made out of oak stays with multiple layers of leather. And their shield was 30 inches by 40 inches. And it was very heavy. And you look at the skeletal remains of soldiers from back then, they were very strong in upper body strength, their shoulders and arms. And if they were an archer, the right arm was bigger. If you're a soldier in the field, your left arm was bigger because you carried the shield. And the Lord is saying that I want you to be prepared. And the greatest way for preparation is to be abiding in me, resting in me. So I want to encourage all of you to go into this next week. Don't be afraid. It's like we just had a major storm. I could not hear you on this call. I had to get off the call and turn it over because of the hail hitting the window right in front of our desk. My son is sitting next to me and at his desk, and I'm here. And it was so loud. I said, what is that? And he said, that's the hail coming down. And 2 weeks ago, a storm like this destroyed hundreds of cars in this area. It totaled them. Matter of fact, one of the person that I work with twice a week totaled his car, sitting in, just like us. It was in front of the business, but ours in front of our house. And Frances just went outside with her staff, prayed unto the Lord, and commanded the hail to cease, the storm to pass over, and the tornado not to touch us. And I walked out when I could not hear you. John took over, and I walked out to look at what was going on. And quarter-size to golf-size hail was out there, mostly the quarter-size and right above, a little bigger. And you expect all these divots in your vehicles. You expect the windows to be crashed. You expect your side of your house to be destroyed when it comes down that, because they'll come down, you know, very fast. And it passed us, and then I could hear the roar go over top of us. Now, if you've never experienced the roar of a tornado, you never forget it. Sounds like a freight train going over top of you. So God is so good, and I thank you all for your prayers. So we're going to pray a couple of things. And Steve, most of all, I want to know if there's any prayer that you want to lift up before you have to go. Anything that you, from what has happened tonight, what you've said, or what, you know, in addition to your teaching, is there a prayer that you have that you want to lift up? And you got yourself muted, Steve.
There we go. Okay. I
pushed the wrong button. If you could pray, first of all, for health. I think I'd mentioned a couple weeks ago that my wife has been diagnosed with early stage of macular degeneration. We're going to work on that. We got diet going on. We've got a Rife machine that's going to be doing that. But we're also, if you could pray for the Lord's protection over a trip that we're taking to the States in May. And I won't go into any details, but it's obvious that the enemy does not want us to do this trip just because of the opposition I've already had trying to get things put together. So appreciate your prayers that we can put this together and that it would be a blessing to people as we go there and take care of business and share our ministry here in Brazil.
Okay. I'm going to call on several people to pray for you in this, Bruce and Linda, if the two of you would pray, and then I'm going to follow up and pray for Steve in this situation that he just mentioned.
Right. Thank you, Lord. Father, we lift up Brother Steve and his wife, Lane. I thank you, Father God, that they are your children. They are under the shelter of your wings and in your care, and you love them dearly, dearly, dearly. Father, you know the needs. You know the struggles. You know the situations, Father, and we speak to these bodies. We command them to come into line with the Word of God and be healed. Father God, that arthritis and whatever else is coming upon Lane, Father God, we come against that in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach, and we break its hold and its power in his precious and holy name. And Father, we lift up this upcoming trip in May to the States, Father God, for both of them, Lord, that you would cause all things to come together to work out for their good, Father God, even in spite of all the obstacles and the distractions and things that might come against them, Lord, that they would be in the very center of the flow of the Holy Ghost for their lives at every moment of the day, Father, now and through that situation, through the time that they will be traveling. I thank you, Father God, that they are in your hands. Father, they are in good hands, and your will shall be done in and through their lives. And we thank you for it and give you the glory and the praise, Father, in Yeshua's holy and precious name.
And, Father, I'm in total agreement. I thank you and praise you, Lord, that by Yeshua's stripes we were all healed. And I speak total healing and victory over those bodies in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And, Father, I also agree for traveling mercies, Lord, that even those things that they know not that you're going to do, Father, they will be prepared. They will be ready to be your light and your glory, and every work of darkness that would try to hinder is under the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, and we declare victory, 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 Father, and we thank you and praise you for continuing to use them, continuing to give them wisdom, Father, that they might submit to you in every area that they need to, Father, to see total, total, glorious victory, and we give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, I'm going to join in and agree with Bruce and Linda, who I consider some of the dearest people in my lives as warriors and teachers. Lord God, that they would stand and lift this up before thy throne of grace. Lord, we as a people, and four or five of us on this call, Matt, John, myself, Sharon, Steve, are on a particular warfare attack team. And we call it a SWAT team, spiritual warfare and attack team. And we pray for the folks, we pray for the situation, we pray for the releases. And Lord, you said whether you give a vision, you give a provision. But often the vision is not for now, it's for in the future. And now is the time, and this is the season that you're bringing things together. The wickedness is beyond our comprehension. The amount of evil, even in nations, and we don't want our nation judged, but we recognize that justice and judgment's at hand. And now is the time that we have to have the provision to make the preparation to do the kingdom purposes. And Lord, we're getting breakthroughs on many points. We're seeing people come to us. We have people now that in the natural you would say are beyond our pay grade that have come to us and say, we need help. We need prayer because of the amount of evil that we're dealing with on a daily basis, trying to transfer worldwide wealth that could make a difference. And Lord, you know, many, Steve, and many on this call, and we rely on literally on contributions of those that you put it on their hearts to send. I know in this ministry, we don't even take offerings. We don't receive offerings. We're just set up to do that what you tell us to do, and we go do it. And but Steve's different, okay? And they rely on that which you give through those people who have a giving heart. So do many good men and women. At the same time, there's much wickedness in the church, and that money is used for ill-gotten gains. And, Lord, I pray that you would put a hedge around not only us, but those finances and bring them into the hands that Steve and others like him, Steve and the ministry he's involved with and all that he's done all these years, all the stands that he's taken, all that which he's seen and come to know and understand through your word and how he's been a blessing to us. Lord God, we believe in the natural and in the spiritual that the time is now. So we're asking for the provision for finances to bring about the protection, the health, the well-being, the travel, the homes, the vehicles, everything that has to be done. And I'm seeing this in so many different arenas, Lord, where things have been put off and we have felt it's been the enemy putting it off. And many, many times it's you because the time wasn't there yet. But as wickedness has increased, justice is now coming. You've said through many prophetic voices, some that we've heard or seen yourself, ourselves, that you have entered the fray. You have entered into the battle now. You have sent the angels, but now you have stepped up also. So, Lord, we're asking, expose the wickedness in all of our lives that is trying to stop us. Bring it to destruction and justice and judgment, and take us to the place that we need to be taken to as men and women of God, that we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the testimony of the Word, and that we can stand and believe in faith totally, stepping into a new level, a new place of abiding, a new place of seeking, a new place of hearing and seeing and understanding that which you're involved in, that we could join you. We no longer need to ask you to join us. We need to join you in those endeavors, that you would be glorified. And I thank you for it in Yeshua's name. Amen. Glory, glory. Martha, you can't always be here. And is there a prayer that you would like to lift up tonight? Is there something you want to pray?
Oh, gosh.
I know you have needs. I know that, you know, you know that I'm praying for those very things. But is there something he's put on your heart tonight?
I guess my main concern has been for just people who don't understand and aren't prepared for what we may be facing very soon. I guess that's the main burden on my heart, and just the feeling the weight of the darkness as they are ramping up their efforts.
Well, lift it up in a prayer and let us come and agree with you.
All right. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I reach out to you with my heart, with my love, to those who are still blinded, who are not listening to the warnings or the words, who are still in their growth darkness. I pray that you will reach them in gentle ways. I pray that it will not take a great shaking or a great tragedy for people to come back to you. That they will just feel you in their heart and feel you around them and have the realization, Lord, give them the light and of the revelation of the truth, even though it is difficult to see. It is my heart that men come to repentance, on their own without being forced to by calamity or tragedy. Let them come to you humbly. Let them decide to come to their knees before you, Lord, and give their hearts to you, give their lives to you, to come under your covering, your protection, the umbrella of your power, the embrace of your arms, and the protection of your love. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. John, is Janet still with you? Is she sitting in there with you?
Yes, I am.
Janet, is there something the Lord put on your heart tonight as you've listened and you've heard everything that you would like to pray tonight? I feel the sense that the ladies are supposed to lead us tonight in this.
I will. I don't have anything specific, but it will come as I pray. So, Father God, we thank you for the words that have been spoken tonight, for the revelations that have been revealed, and that you will put in our hearts the desire that you have for us, that you have made specifically for each one of us, and that we can be planting seeds that you have meant for us to be planting, and an agreement with Martha that we can be prepared, but those who haven't quite gotten to where maybe they should be, that they can be woken up and brought to you before it's too late, that they can change their ways, that they can have a Jesus moment, have a Yeshua moment that will help them realize where they need to be. Because we don't want anybody lost, just as Yeshua doesn't want anybody lost. So I pray all that in Yeshua's name, and so be it.
So be it. So be it. Sharon? As always, it'll be nice to hear your voice. As you know, I've been traveling for 10 days, so that's kind of out of pocket. But and everybody, Sharon and April will be back next week. It'll be powerful. And even though we no longer call it a ladies' night, I'm going to start asking for everybody that can to get your wife to sit in more and more, because we need to be able to participate and hear and understand what God is saying through our wives. They're not just side seat drivers telling us to speed up and slow down. God's telling us to speed up and slow down and pay attention. And we need to know and understand through the perspective of the woman. She has a different sensitivity than we do as men. Sharon, have you got something the Lord has said to pray tonight?
I do. And what a wonderful, again, what a wonderful night. What a amazing message. How it all gels is just awesome. And as we were just kind of ministering for Steve and the need and others, and what Martha had to say was on her heart, felt the Lord saying to read this scripture. And it is in Luke 24, and it is I think 30. I'll start at 30. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And then down here, he says, that he opened their minds. He said to them, let me get it right. They were startled. Okay, so while they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. And this is in 36. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw ghosts. He said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your mind? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they still did not believe it, because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish. He took it, ate it in their presence. He said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scripture. He told them, this is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all generations beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. And when he had left them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them. He was taken up to heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. But one of the things I wanted to read, and I know this is so powerful because it's scripture first and foremost, but he said that how foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And Lord, you've given me this scripture time and again. And Father, I pray for, as Martha's praying, as Janet's praying, as Steve shared, as Matt shared, as John shared, as Bruce and Linda prayed, as Mel prayed, I pray, Father, that we would not be foolish and slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. And Lord, that we would burn in our hearts because you're so near. That we would experience it, just as Francis going out there and commanding what is due, the word to be watched over, to perform. Lord, that our hearts would burn within us as you talk to us again. As we took communion, we said, remember, remember, Lord, do it again. And Father, thank you for the peace. Thank you for opening the scriptures to us, because we can't minister to others if we don't have it in us. We cannot give what we do not have. Open our eyes of understanding that we may be able to, in season and out, minister and seek, as you came to seek and save the lost, that we would seek and save through you in us the lost. And that you would hear that prayer of Martha, and you would answer that prayer, and she would see it answered, and you would give her that yoke that is easy and that burden that is light. And you would take her burden that weighs her down. And you're that good, Daddy, that it's already done. So, Holy Spirit, we're excited to see what you just did. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, we say, let it be so.
Amen. Amen. I want to encourage everybody, as you finish up the calendar this week, Saturday, James Ness and myself combine with one other person to bring this word about the eighth, and the possibilities are great for the enemy to come. There's now far more than what this is. I sent out emails to my leadership and others about April 8th. At the same time, I'm not afraid about it, but there is expected to be what we call false flags in the conservative movement where the enemy's coming in to create havoc. There is going to be prophetic words fulfilled, just like what happened with the bridge that was destroyed in Baltimore and the attacks. So don't be surprised. Peter said, don't be surprised at the fiery trials among you, brethren. We're in that time and season of justice and judgment. And many people look at the rapture and think they're going to be raptured out. The first taking away is of wickedness. And it's quite clear in the scriptures. You look at the scripture, it talks about the first ones taken are the evil ones. Because God is not coming back for a church that is a failed church. He's not taking his people out. He's taking his people through. So he's coming back, and he's coming back for us. And there will be a lifting up. There will be many things that are going to happen. But it's not as, unfortunately, we were taught in the mainline churches for so many years. There's going to be a lot of shaking. There's a lot of things that are going to happen. But he's coming back for a triumphant church. And to be triumphant, we have to abide in him. We have to do what Steve said, what Matt said, what John said, music said, and even the prayers tonight. So be encouraged. Please read. Make sure you read every day this week. Be in prayer. Abide. I've asked for a fast. Michael was talking about, you know, that he's entered into a fast. And it doesn't have to be for weeks on end. It just needs to be for a few days. Fast something. Fast the internet. Fast Facebook. Fast any social media. Fast a particular food group. Whatever the Lord tells you to fast, fast. And lift up the time and season we're in, because justice and judgment is at hand. And signs in the heavens are going to take place. And that comet is going to pass, called the Devil's Comet, which was there when Jonah, you know, was taken into the whale for Nineveh, and all the signs of the cities, that thing is going past. And there's going to be things that are happening, because they're going to stage things. It's just like Steve was talking about CERN, about that crazy piece of equipment they've done out there in Switzerland. You know, it's literally set up to open up portals to bring the enemy in. Well, and then you take a look at what our president, first time in modern history that a president has done such a horrible thing, and I expect judgment to be on him very rapidly. Now, many say he's an actor, that it's not actually Biden, and that's fine. You take a look at the pictures and you go, that guy's not the same guy. But even that man is going to be judged. And Biden and others, those that are behind him, and the wickedness is getting judged. And part of the reasons for all the warfare is literally because of the wickedness and the transfers of the wealth. So just be watchful, keep in prayer, and seek the Lord. I want to thank you all. And John, is there anything else that you'd like to say before we close?
No, I think we're in a good spot.
Yeah, we're in a good spot. Blessings to all. Be watchful. Pay attention to what's going on. And as they say in the military, cover your six. Make sure that you're in prayer. And if you have to, be like my wife. Walk outside with a staff and start commanding the heavens. And with that, I say good night. Blessings to all. And I'll be talking to many of you along the way.